Chaitanya Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtatata Sattva Shishrimadis Divine Vaishila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Srila Prabhupada Thakur ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Iskand Viviti Founder Charge Srila Prabhupada ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki Premzagoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srila Sri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhan ki Shri Vidamana Mathura Ram ki, Shri Navadip Mayapuram ki, Shri Jagannath Puri Ram ki, Ganga Mai Jumuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi ki, Shri Guru Parampara ki, His Divine Grace is Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Sad Goswami Prabhu ki, Shri Mayapuram ki, Shri Mahapurana Srimad Bhagavat ki, Shamaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Tinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Dhirvashesha Shunyavari Prashachadi Satarani. So first of all, I'd like to thank all of you who continue to attend our humble attempt at this course on the Srimad Bhagavatam, arriving every morning, even such a morning as this, with the sound of the bowels and the sahajas howling in the background. And I especially like to thank you again for your fine participation in last week's programs. This was very inspiring for me personally. I'm very grateful and indebted to you for this. And today's class, of course, as I mentioned, will be different. We're not going to be so much talking about the big question, why, regarding Srimad Bhagavatam, but rather the practical question of how. So, the first how business is very rather minute compared to even the other house subjects. I just want to stress, for the benefit of my beloved secretary here, Kashishwar Prabhu, and all of your benefit, the importance of keeping good records of what we're doing. And so Kashishwar still has questions, he told me, to put to a couple Matajis whether or not they have paid this month's fees. He's not sure. And this brings up the problem that although, not to shower myself with allocates, being a great manager, but I did at the very start of this course insist that we have a payment, a system of recording payments as they come in and giving receipts. So this is another way that you can help us. You should be getting receipts if you pay 100 rupees. So I would like to request you to please be stern about this. This helps us. If you give Kashishwar Prabhu 100 rupees, you should stand there until he gives you a receipt. Don't just go away, because from little things like this, big problems can result. I've seen this. We may not be able to, we think we're a nice, friendly group, but sometimes some dispute may come up. You may find yourself not being given handout material, and wondering why, and you'll be told, because you didn't pay, and you say, but I did pay, and then you'll be asked, show your receipt. And the fault may even be on the part of the one asking you that because he didn't give you a receipt. That often happens in India. And you have no receipt, and you can't prove that you paid, and then you get no class materials, and it's not your fault. And then the next thing is that you start to have, understandably, ill feelings towards the management here. So I want to avoid these problems. So this is another way the class can contribute, by insisting that you get a receipt, even if it's just a scrap of paper that Kashyapa Prabhu signs. We try to do things more professionally, but if it's even just that, at least it's proof that you paid. So please, it's a small detail, but it is important, because I want to totally avoid any such problems coming up. Oh, I also really should have begun today's class by, obviously, as you can see, His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj is not present with us today because of some important things he had to do in Calcutta. He will be with us tomorrow. So it's kind of a nice thing, though, because the particular subjects that we're going to cover today are really my field, because although both of us are speaking and Maharaj is obviously outshining me in so many ways, he is the more prominent among us. But the matters that we have to speak of today are really my field as the organizer and researcher of this Bhagavatam course. So what we're going to be doing is going through these essays, the last essays you handed in, which is your feedback that I requested. And I think because we're doing it this way, I hope, I pray, that you will find no need for me to return these essays to you so that the next day you just bring them back and give them to us for our files, because I'm going to be actually going through them and, without mentioning anyone's names, but reading the essential points. So they're going to be openly discussed. The reason that we have been handing essays back is that I would write comments on them, but now we're going to just verbally make those comments and you can reply to them. So therefore, if no one has any objection, at the end of this class, these will go directly into the files here. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. I thought that a good place to start, since in these essays, actually, some devotees were, well, by necessity, revealing something about themselves, revealing needs that they are hoping will be fulfilled in this class. So I thought a good way to start would be to discuss my own involvement and my own sense of need in conducting this class. I've been in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness for now more than 30 years. And my because of all the different engagements I've had through those 30 years, I could really, you know, I've really earned the T-shirt, been there, done that. I am, you know, a former member of the GBC. I was GBC chairman in 1996, which was the year of Srila Prabhupada's centennial. So I know this movement from top to bottom, inside and out. I've visited temples in at least 15, 20 different countries. I know many devotees around the world. And while ISKCON was, is, and remains the most glorious movement, not only here on this earth planet, but in the three worlds, because this is Lord Chaitanya's movement, established by Srila Prabhupada, who is one of the greatest generals among Lord Chaitanya's powerful preachers. Still, as anyone who's not totally lost in the realm of naivete knows, and that is actually a nice situation to be totally naive, like a little child. But most of us are not so naive, so we all are aware of different problems in ISKCON. And having been in a position where I've had to try to solve these problems, I was 12 years on the GBC, I know how deep these problems are. And actually, I know that these problems, finally, their root goes into the very core of the heart of the individual devotees. And I know very well that it's not possible to change devotees by, you know, having a meeting 2 weeks in a year and passing 150 resolutions in that two-week period that nobody reads anyway, or very few. So, in the last few years, I've gone through some great personal changes and reoriented myself, my whole view of ISKCON, its problems and the solution is very different. And one verse in particular has become very important to me. That is the one spoken by Narada Muni. Sarva Pari Vinirmuktam Tatpad Venit Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchete. So he is defining pure devotional service as beginning with Vimuktam. Vi in Sanskrit is it's a stressing prefix. It's a prefix that puts stress on a word. So mukti, as you all know, means liberation. So vimukti means, it means real liberation. It means very tangible, very realized state of being free of material encumbrances. So he equates that with the removal of all upadis, sarvopadi vinirmuktam. If one can rid oneself of all upadis, then one actually becomes a liberated soul. So then, what is an upadi? Let's have a little class participation. What does the word upadi mean?
Material designation.
And of course, the most obvious material designation is this gross physical body. And there are so many sub-upadis that stick to this gross material body, like our name, our material name, the name we got from our parents, our nationality, the language that we grew up speaking, the place in which we live, and then our occupation, our sex, male or female, our age, young or old. There's so many, our skin color, black or white or yellow or brown, whatever. These are all, you see, we have multifarious upadis. As soon as we appear in this material, the soul comes to this material world, he becomes inundated with upadis. And because he's in material consciousness, he identifies with them. So in ISKCON, we follow in our organization of devotees, the relationships between devotees. We have learned from Srila Prabhupada the fundamentals of Varna Ashram. Our devotees have names like Krishna Das Brahmachari or Rama Das Adhikari, or someone is Maharaj, Sannyas, or someone is even Guru. He is the spiritual master of many disciples. But if you have read Srila Prabhupada's books, if you have studied his purports, if you have listened to his lectures, then what I'm about to say should not surprise you, that these are also simply upadis. There is a lecture, I don't know how widely read it is now in ISKCON, but when Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world, and there was much discussion about the succession within ISKCON after Srila Prabhupada. So, one document was circulated widely through the movement at that time, 1978. And I don't know now in year 2006 if how many of you have seen this, but it is a transcription of a lecture by Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there he says that actually the title guru, that upadi guru, is most suited for an asura. So I see from your expressions some shock and surprise. So I take it that you have not read this. But that is his statement. So we too in ISKCON, I'm perhaps giving what will sound to you like a personal opinion, but what I am trying to do is simply speak in terms of what I have read in my spiritual master's books and in his letters and heard in his lectures very plainly. And if you need further evidence, I am very well equipped to give it to you. What I'm about to say is not my own concoction. It is not some political commentary. It is not intended to create an agitation in the mind or some type of controversy. But from my view of ISKCON in the last several decades, I have come to see that this conception which Srila Prabhupada, he said there are two conceptions. Brahma-bhuta, I'm sure you all know what that means. That's a liberated state. Bhuta means living entity and Brahma means transcendental or spiritual. So that is what we are aspiring to achieve, the Brahma-bhuta platform. Lord Krishna says in Gita, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. This is where you become happy. This is where you are free of all anxieties. Na soshati, na kangshati. There is no more hankering or lamentation. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu. Then you actually become equal to all living entities. In other words, your dealings, you have no, you do not see living entities in terms of friends or enemies, but you actually are able to see them as parts and parcels of Krishna eternally. And therefore, especially those living entities who are in a less fortunate position, they become the objects of our compassion in the form of preaching, or there are even living entities who are impervious to preaching, like our Mataji Bihasi is here. So I'm always going to her house to visit her husband Murari, and at that house there's a good friend of mine. His name is Emmanuel. He walks on four legs. He's a cat, very interesting living entity, because he lives in the Dham, and so he's very special. I like him very much. He's a cat who knows that you don't meow for food, as cats do when they get hungry. They make this meow sound. But he does not do that until he's heard the ringing of the bell of the offering. Until the offering is complete, he does not go, meow, I'm hungry. He knows foodstuffs should be offered to the Lord before they're taken. And this, I also noticed during the past Damodar Vrat Kartik that was held, because at Murari's house there is also a temple. And practically every evening, Emmanuel, we call him Emmanuel, it's a joke, because there was a German philosopher, Immanuel Kant, so he's Immanuel Cat, spelt with a K. Because he's among cats, he's very wise. So he was attending practically every evening the Damodar festivities, the offerings of the lamps. You know, one cannot understand these things. I mean, perhaps in his little cat brain, he was only coming because of the bright lights to see and so many people gathered, it's warm. That might have been his conscious purpose, but he's a Dhamvasi and very fortunate that he found the Damodar Vrat, you see, attractive, so that he would attend it. And I always, whenever I'd come to see the offerings, I'd always see him there among the devotees, just sitting and looking with big eyes at the offerings of the deep to the Lord. And sometimes when Murari Gupta Prabhu is doing arti to Shishi Gornatai, they are very beautiful deities. Actually, it would be nice someday, since you're only 15 minutes away, less than 15 minutes walk from Murari's house, so someday you should all go and have darshan. They're very beautiful deities. Sometimes Emmanuel will come, and like cats do, you know, they come and wrap themselves, they lay down and wrap themselves around your feet. So he has sometimes done that while Murari was doing arti to the Lord. That was very special. So, you know, there are even those living entities who are, because of not having the equipment up here, you can't really preach to them. But still they can become objects of mercy. So this is actually the meaning of samak saveshu bhuteshu, to see every living entity as Krishna's parts and parcel. And Lord Krishna in the fourth chapter, everyone learns the verse tadvini pranipartena, about approaching spiritual master. And in many classes I often ask devotees, but do you know the next verse, which is actually telling what that vidhi is? And it's remarkable how few devotees in ISKCON know that verse. Because in this next verse, the Lord is actually saying what that vidhi, that knowledge is, that we should receive from those who are tattva-darshis. And that is the vision of every living being as being within Krishna and His. And when He says, you can see all living entities in that way, then you will never again fall into illusion. Because our sense gratification is always in relationship with someone else, isn't it? You see, the main, of course, the number one form of sense gratification is sex, and that requires male and female, of course, in more recent days, recent times, due to Kali Yuga's influence, even that has changed somewhat. So at least we can say now, at least two people have to be involved in a sexual. They may not be male and female, but at least two people. So you see, the consciousness of sense gratification is, you know, very much about relationship. And similarly, the consciousness of Krishna consciousness is very much about a relationship between the soul and the Lord, but also, as Kapila Dev says, I've quoted this verse already several times, the verse that begins, Satam Prasanga, Mamavirya Samvido. That to actually enter into the Rasayana Kata, the nectar of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, we must be in prasanga, just like V in Sanskrit is giving stress to a word. So pra, like the name Prahlad. So hlad means to be happy, state of happiness, joyfulness. Prahlad means very great happiness. So Bhagavatam says that in order to taste the nectar, which we always hear that the Bhagavatam contains, then we must have prasanga. And without that, then the ear, karna, and the heart, hrit, will not be satisfied. And the ear then will pull us, because the senses, when they're not satisfied, they pull us. We become godas. And the ear will pull us to hear, you know, Metallica music or whatever. And the heart will pull us into relationships of sense gratification with other living entities. And we will remain in Maya, birth after birth. So the Bhagavatam, that I hope is one thing you have learned from what we have covered so far, that it is our means of deliverance. It is our source of light. It is our Dharma Shastra for this age. It is giving us the Dharma, the path of religiosity for the human being at this time. And if we stray from that, we will be lost. You see, because in Kali Yuga, you know, as they say, either you are or you are not. You see, there's no gray area in Kali Yuga. It's light versus darkness. It is, in this age, the war against Maya reaches a fever pitch, and you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Whether or not you have the upadis of a devotee, you see. Tilak, this is also, it's, of course, has a transcendental purpose, but ultimately it too is upadi. There are plenty of people, you can see them right here, walking around with tilak on their foreheads. But they're not good association. Not at all. Because you'll very often see what they're carrying between these two fingers while wearing the tilak. So just taking on upadis like the dress and the tilak and an initiated name and even a guru and even a position, high position in ISKCON, taking on these upadis is not equivalent to Krishna consciousness. It is a help. It can be a help. But it can also be a hindrance too. So in the last few years, this is one of the things that has been happening in my life, that I've been deeply reflecting on this verse, Sarvapadivan Nirmuktam. So I came to a decision that I want nothing more, well, I can't say nothing more, but I want as little to do with upadis as possible. And what I want to do is to dedicate my life, the rest of my life, because I reached that age which Prabhupada says Prabhupada says 50 years old means now you're officially old. And I'm a few years past 50, so I'm officially old now. And when you reach this time of life, then, you know, you want your life to mean something. You want it to count. When you're younger, this is a great illusion, I tell you. Because I can clearly remember my wild youth. And my youth was very wild, I tell you. I mean, you know, I look at the young people today and they think that they're being wild, but they have no idea. I'm a child of, you know, of the 60s generations, and even in terms of the 60s generation, I was on a very radical extreme. So, and you know, that was all yesterday, but it's gone. You see? So life actually goes very fast. When you're young and full of spunk, you think, I have so many years to become serious. But it's funny, I feel exactly the same. I'm not exactly the same because I've become, hopefully, purified by the grace of my spiritual master. But I'm the same person. And I have much the same mental constitution. I want to break through barriers. I want a revolution. I want to turn everything upside down. But now only in terms of that Gunormi Chakram, that revolution that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I have made a personal vow that for the rest of my days in this body, I'm going to dedicate myself to actually entering into Bhagavat Katha and achieving that rasa that is promised. And therefore, I've spent a good long time conceiving of this course. And I've also been very aware that since the essential formula is this prasanga, that it's not just what I think of, I need your help. So therefore I ask for your feedback. And I'm noticing how much time I've just taken to give that little introduction. So we have to move along. But I just want you to know that I have a very special interest myself in this. I'm extremely... I actually have no other purpose now in life than just to develop a Srimad Bhagavatam course which is really trying to fulfill the purpose why Srila Prabhupada put so much of his energy into the production of this great voluminous set of books. He said, the answers to all questions are in my books. He said, the Bhagavatam is an ocean of nectar. I attended the Bhagavad Dharma discourses, and Prabhupada was speaking on these things. And it made a very, very deep impression in 1972 in my heart. And then I went the way of ISKCON Upadhis. I look back and I think, I regret that I... foolishly wasted so many years. So anyway, ISKCON is suffering, I think, because of want of genuine, deep, and meaningful sangha. Not just etiquette. We have something that goes on in our movement that is Vaishnava etiquette, where we address one another as Prabhu or Mataji, and we are polite. But this does not also, just like upadis, the upadis of tilak and dhoti, dress and spiritual name, and even having a guru, do not add up to Krishna consciousness. So similarly, this etiquette does not add up to Vaishnava Sangha. Vaishnava Sangha, what it is revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The title Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know what it means. It means the character of the living entity in immortality. So when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is what Sangha is supposed to be. You see? And what we have in ISKCON, I think it's an understatement to say it doesn't quite seem to measure up. Although, believe me, if anyone here is an ISKCON man, it is definitely me. Because when I took initiation from my spiritual master, I made a fifth vow, you know, in my mind. Being so impressed with my Guru Maharaj, Om Vishnupad, His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, that I declared in my mind, I dedicate the rest of my life to you. So I swore that I would stay in this movement, no matter what. But things can be improved and things must be improved. So Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions, but we must have interest. There's a famous American film director, John Huston. He used to say, interest is everything. We must have interest. And that is what we're trying to, in this class, you know, the Sanskrit word graha, it's very similar to the word grasp in English. It means the same thing. That is what we're trying to grasp here. We're trying to unlock the secret of a deep, ever-deepening interest in this subject matter, not just attending official classes and catching up in our sleep during those classes, but really getting absorbed in the nectar that the Bhagavatam has to offer us. It's said that John Huston, this director I just mentioned, he led the life of 12 men. His life was so full, it was like the life of a dozen men. So we, each one of us as devotees, we should be like that. Prabhupada used to sometimes say about certain of his very active disciples. I won't name them by name, but I remember him once commenting that he is worth 50 men because of the work, because of his enthusiasm, his interest. Because when we achieve this, we're empowered by Krishna. And we can do so much. Our life becomes so full, so meaningful, so satisfying. And this is why we join the Krishna Consciousness Movement. So, this is actually the goal of this course. This is my own interest. And since everything is based on Sangha, that's why I'm asking for feedback from you. So, actually, what I think I'm going to do today, I'm going to do something very radical, even though, the only reason we have to break up at 9 o'clock is that the boys have to leave. So, I'm going to get all this off my chest, even if the boys have to leave. So, adults, you can stay. Because I do want to read some comments. And I won't be able to do this in the next 7 minutes. But I will try to speed things up right now. So because of my interest in this project, I'm interested in your interest. Because without this mutual interest, there cannot be Sangha. So in these essays, one thing that was very rewarding for me personally is the discovery that all of those who wrote these essays, and quite a lot of them as you can see, very much appreciate this class. In fact, one Prabhu, who is a graduate of either the MIHE or VIT teachers training program, he began his essay with this sentence: "This is the best scriptural study course I ever attended so far." So I put in red pen, "Wow." And in so many of your essays, you're making remarks like that. So I thank you very much. That's very encouraging. But I also want to say that I personally am very far from satisfied with this course, because I have a vision of what it can be. And we've only taken the first step. So I want to take further steps. And in these essays, I've seen repeatedly, like here, one point is that we as students need regular time for asking questions and clarifying the points made, if possible. So that was one consistent, repeated theme. More time for questions. Another consistent, repeated theme was that we're moving a little too fast. Another theme was, this was not voiced by so many people, but I myself feel this, was that there's not really a need to read the study guide like we've been doing. Just read through them and make comments now and again. So therefore we've conceived of a new type of study guide, which you'll be getting today. The Mataji's have requested, one Mataji at least, requested a change in the seating arrangement, which I thought was a very good idea. So we're now having the Mataji sit on this side instead of in the back. Maharaj wants that the boys be here. He insists that our students be seated here. And so the men can sit in this half and the women can sit in this half, simply because it is easier for them to hear. So I already asked the Mataji's to please sit on this side. And Mataji's have remarked, like here, "Being a woman and not having read the whole Bhagavatam, though I know all the stories, I find myself out of my depth with the philosophy, particularly when the Shastric evidences are read from books other than Srila Prabhupada's." There have been repeated requests for opportunities for more discussion, breaking into groups, or just discussion. I'm distinguishing this from questions and answers, but just to have the opportunity to exchange points of view. So, therefore, what you're going to be receiving now is the next study guide for chapter 11, which is quite a bit more bigger than the previous. This has been my vision, and from your remarks, you see, I was hesitant before to do this because I didn't know. So the first work I was doing was making a skeleton, sort of skeleton study guide. Now, your remarks have encouraged me to do what I really wanted to do, and that is to provide you with an actual digest of the chapter. This is First Canto, chapter 11. And this is definitely going to take us a week to get through. Now, how are we going to get through it? So, I want you to now please listen very carefully to the plan. It's best if I find my... Somehow I misplaced my page. Oh yeah, on the other side of this. Yes, thank you. So the study guide is now much more comprehensive. You'll be getting a cover page with your study guide. This is explaining Sanskrit terms that we're going to be using in the study guide. There's only about 5 of them. They're completely explained. So I want you to keep this, because we're hopefully only going to have to hand this out once to you. And this will apply to all study guides in the future. This is to help you understand now the new shape of the study guide you're getting. So please look at this very carefully. And then the study guide itself is intended to generate more interest. The narrative, the storyline, is much more detailed. Much, much more detailed. Practically, like reading a digest of the verses. There are many more quotes from Srila Prabhupada's purports inserted into the text of the narrative. Where a name of a personality is introduced, then you're told, you'll find out more about this person in this purport. And the purport is numbers, verse number and purport is given. So you can go there and look. And sometimes I'm actually quoting information from the purport so that you can read it right there in the study guide. So we cannot possibly go through this study guide as we have been before. Just me and Mara, basically me and Maharaj reading and pausing to talk. What is going to have to happen is that you, the students, will have to read this study guide yourselves with more care alongside with the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we want you to see points that particularly you find interesting. Because from now on, Maharaj and I are simply going to be talking about things that we find interesting. And we would like to talk about. But we're not going to mechanically go through the whole study guide. What we want is that you, our students, motivated by your own interest, will make presentations. Now, these presentations will be not as before, when we would ask someone to come up and please speak for 20 minutes on the whole chapter. You can make a presentation for just 5 minutes, or 10 minutes. Or 20 minutes, on some point in this study guide that you yourself find particularly interesting. Like, for example, there is mention, I don't know if it's in this chapter. No, it's not in this chapter, it's a later chapter. But there's a purport in which Srila Prabhupada talks about the lives of 5 great Vaishnavis. So one Mataji might become very inspired by this and like to speak about the lives of these great Vaishnava women. Very good. So please come forward and do that. Do a little research, a little homework research, make some notes, and then come to speak in the class. If you do this, then you will not have to write a weekend essay. If you're going to remain shy and enclosed in yourself behind a shell, just coming to hear what the Swamis have to say, then you will have to continue to write a weekend essay, because that's the only participation we'll be able to get out of you. But I want more. So this is the trade I'm proposing. You want more time? You want more time for questions? Fine. We will reserve a day, a class day at the end of every chapter for questions. But the number of questions that will be allowed will be equivalent to the number of student presentations that were made on that chapter. So there are 18 enrolled students. So 18 questions is a lot of questions. We would have to take 2 days to cover that. You cannot, reasonably answer 18 questions in 1 hour. You see, that's about 2 minutes per question. You see, it's 2-3 minutes. Yeah, 3 minutes. I'm unable to answer a philosophical question in 3 minutes. See, I'm a big talker. I can talk for 20 minutes on some philosophical point easily. So you want questions? Fine. Then you please come forward and make a verbal contribution to the class. Look carefully at these study guides. Check off the points you find interesting. Do a little research. And let me know tomorrow, because Maharaj will be here, and we'll start off the chapter in the usual way. But we want you to let us know, starting tomorrow, what you would like to speak on. Even if it's just 5 minutes, fine. Just something from the study guide, or even not from the study guide, from the chapter. Something in the study guide may stimulate you to read some purport, and you find something in the purport that's not in the study guide that just turns on a light in your mind. Wow, this is really interesting. I want to talk about this. Then come forward and speak. Now, if you like this idea, but you feel, I'm a woman, I'm shy. Well, because of the exercises that we've been through already, we have here three very fine leaders. One, unfortunately, Uttamasloka, among the students. Uttamasloka is not attended today, but we have Bhakti David and Shantiparayan Prabhu. So then go to them and say, Prabhu, I want to make a presentation, but I need some help. Maybe you could be there with me. Maybe you could even present it for me. I'll just write it down and you could present it for me. You know? And if they're willing, fine. We'll give you credit for their presentation. if you can talk them into doing it. And I'm sure they'd be very happy to help you. But you do the work, that's all. And they can do the presentation. You see, at this, I want to bring you all forward, but I don't want to make you uncomfortable at the same time. You see, I don't want to put you in distress. But you have to understand, this is what Sangha is really about. It's coming out of all these, they're called, there's Anamaya, Pranamaya. These are called koshas of material identity that we hide behind. When we come to the chapter, the beautiful chapter of Lord Krishna's entering Dwarka, I have very much slanted the study guide of that chapter. Oh yes, this is it. This is the one you'll be getting today. I've been very biased, although this is not biased because it's right there in the purports, but I very much slanted the material in the direction of the interaction of devotees. When Krishna arrived at Dwarka, Everyone came rushing out to see him, even the prostitutes. And the Lord reciprocated with them all. He didn't turn up his nose at the prostitutes. Sinful women, get away from me. But he glanced at them mercifully and gestured, made a gesture of welcome to them. You see, this is Sangha. And until we can get out from behind our, you know, masks of protection, which can even be the attributes of a Vaishnava, the upadis of Vaishnavas, we can even use these as masks to hide behind. You see, until we get beyond those masks, we will not achieve Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada clearly says in that chapter about the residences of Dwarka, is that this, what we are seeing, should be the goal of every human being. This is Krishna consciousness. So I'm really trying to put you on the spot here. You see, what I'm saying is, if you really want to be a devotee, this is what you have to do. If you don't want to do this, then what that means is that you really don't want to be a devotee, even if you're putting tilak on your forehead every morning. I mean, that's the blunt truth. It's the blunt truth. And as I say, there's plenty of people in the neighborhood here who have tilak on their forehead and beaties between their two fingers. They look like devotees, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls them Kali Chela. They're actually disciples of the personality of Kali. And I told you, we're at war now with Maya in this age. There's no gray area in between. So we have to choose our sides, and that's the whole purpose of this class. So, two important things then. Those who participate in class presentations will not have to write the weekend essays. The essays now are simply for the shy ones. And I don't want you to feel inferior if that's all you can do. You're contributing, and I'm very grateful to you for that. That's also you're taking part in the Sangha as best you can. But I want more. I'm sorry, I'm a madman. I want more and more and more and more because I want Krishna. And I don't like to talk about this. It's, you know, Vaishnavas don't talk about when they get realizations, but I have had some very deep realizations of the meanings of Sarvapari Vanirmuktam and Satam Prasangam Amavirasam Vido, these two verses. They have become to me the key that will unlock the door back home, back to Godhead, at least for me. I have full conviction in that. And I reach a time in my life where I don't really care about anything else. I don't listen to ISKCON gossip. When the GBC comes, I don't care to know anything they're talking about. It doesn't concern me at all anymore. What I care about is actually what Prabhupada came to give us all. Krishna in the form of a book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And I want to see Krishna face to face in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's one thing. Those who are able to actively participate in the class, and this is how we'll go through chapter by chapter now. That we'll try to organize the presentations so that we can more or less go through it chronologically, you know, in the right order and not be jumping around. So that's what I'm hoping for. You see, for some reasons, some have left. I'm sure for very good reasons, probably have things they have to do. So they're not able to hear this. So if you know these Prabhus, you can tell them. But tomorrow already, I would like at least some of you to come. We just need start off with just a few, two or three. After having read this, some topics of interest that you would like to speak on. And as I said, there's no question of any of it being too short. Of course, there is a question of it being too long. But, you know, we're not expecting you to be up here for 20 minutes or 15 minutes. It can be 5 minutes. I hope not much less than 5 minutes. I mean, if it's 30 seconds, that's sort of a little ridiculous, you know. A few minutes. And if you need help, there's help. You see, there's a method behind the madness of this course. You see, now we know who the leaders are among our students who are capable of helping the other students. So you can go to them. And they will help you with your presentation. So then you don't have to write the weekend essay. And if we have, in this 11th chapter, 18 presentations, then at the end of, when we reach the end of this chapter, we'll have time for 18 questions. But we're going to ask you to write these questions down, to come with the questions written down, hand them in, and we'll answer them. Because what may happen is that questions may overlap, they may be the same, they may be very similar, and so, you know, we can deal with them faster. You see? And this will be a very fair way. All of you will be able to ask questions and get them answered. You see, it won't be this competition of, you know, you know, or speaking louder than someone else and drowning them out. So, in other words, it's all up to you. You want questions? Well, it's up to you to get them. You want more time? Well, it's up to you to get more time. You see, this is how it works. You say you want these things. Well, now you have to show me that you really want them, because I want something from you. And so this is the exchange that we're going to be making. All right, is that clear? We're already over time, so if you have any questions, you can ask them. Yes, Prabhu.
Are you going to take the essays back now, or are you going to...
What?
The essays that you have there, are you going to put them away now, or did you want to do anything with them?
Well, it's just... We do want to keep them on file. Why are you asking this question? What is your... you'd like to look at them?
No, I got the impression that you were going to go to the morning.
Yeah, well, I was going to do that, but time is Krishna, and Krishna is faster than all of us. So, but I did cover the essential points. Those points I mentioned are the points that came up again and again and again. Yes, Prabhu. You talk to Kashi Mishra Prabhu.
What is the vision for those who are not staying constantly in my group?
Well, we think about that. You see, this school is in the process of still in the process of taking birth. You see. So I was talking last night with Maharaj about the correspondence course for this Bhagavatam class. And we do want to do that, but we need people to do that. So there's one Prabhu who stepped forward who's going to assist me now in my research of the Bhagavatam for putting together these study guides. He seems to be very committed. And I have personally facility, living facility to offer young well, not necessarily young, but say unattached males, brahmacharis, who would like to take part in such things as research, development, running a correspondence course if you've got computer skills. I can't do all this myself. I wish I could. I wish I had the mystic power to expand into 8 persons. But all my time is taken up. Literally, I've spent nearly 40 hours doing 3 study guides. That means 40 hours sitting in front of a computer screen without sleep. It's quite, but I'm driven to do this because of these convictions that I've tried to express to you. I have nothing else to do in life now. I'm not a jumped up daddy with, snivelly nosed disciples who need a Bhagavatam class, which is nothing more than the equivalent of a hand-holding session. I can't do that anymore. I just can't do that anymore. I have to go into this book as deep as I can. And if I have people that I have to take care of, spiritual children, then I can't do this. So I've given all that up. But not for myself. It's for the movement. I believe the movement needs us. So anyway, a few other things, wrap up things. So that's clear, huh? This deal that I'm proposing? Yeah. You can have, 18 students, 18 questions. That's a lot of questions. That's a lot of questions. And you'll have the right to ask them and get them fully answered. We can have not just one day, but several days for questions. The more you participate. You want more time? You'll get it. You'll get the time to make presentations. Otherwise, if you're just going to leave it up to me and Maharaj, then we're just going to be talking about the things that happen to interest us. And you'll have to learn all this by your own reading, and you'll be responsible for it when exams come. You see, you'll have to know all this when exam time comes around. But to really know this, we have to do it in terms of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is a question of sangha, discussion, back and forth, exchange. Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj, this means it's not like only our presentations, we also will hear from you. And
yes, every day we're going to be speaking.
Like students stands up.
No. Yes, because you all enliven me. I've been very enlivened by what you've done. And I need this. I need this for my own spiritual life. I need to see the devotees of ISKCON doing more than acting like, programmed wind-up robots or something. This I find very depressing. We can get so much into this upadhi buddha consciousness that we begin to act like machines, Hari Bol Prabhu, going in front of the... These are things we should do, but I'm talking about the consciousness. Yes, I have to go to Mangal Arati, deity opens, I bow down, I stand up, I rock back and forth on my heels before the deity. Everyone else is raising their hands, I raise my hand, you see. This is not real Krishna consciousness. And I'm becoming, more and more concerned the more I see this type of behavior spreading throughout our movement. And, Guru means yes, he sits on the big seat and he smiles and he tells stories from Mahabharata, and these stories are entertaining and I feel good after the class. And then I go about my work. And, you know, that's it. I have my guru and he tells nice stories. And we have to see Krishna face to face. And his face is there in the Bhagavatam. So, today is January 16th. This class will break the day before, this course will break the day before Nisringa Trayodasi, which is February 9th, I believe. Nichananda Trayodasi, February 9th. So we have from, what is that? That's roughly a little more than 3 weeks. So what we're going to do this, I've made 3 study guides, and we'll try to get through these 3 study guides in these next 3 weeks, this fashion. And just at the end, I'll be asking again for essays from all of you, feedback essays. What do you think about this? Is it working? Do you like it? Is this the way we should go? And then we won't resume the class until March 20th, after GBC Gwarpanima festivities are over. And of course, the semester will end at Nisringa Chaturdasi and resume in the middle of September. So now the handouts. What you're going to be getting is this cover page. You should save this. This will help you understand how these new latest models, chapter summaries, work. So you should keep this in, you know, for reference. And you're also beginning this, important verses from Srimad Bhagavatam from chapter 1 to chapter 10, the material we've gone over. These are extremely important verses, and it's to my great regret that we were not able to more deeply discuss them. But these are, I cannot tell you how important these verses are, because Prabhupada quoted them so much. There's so much philosophy. So you'll have, you're just getting the list and number list and a brief title, and here is the personality who spoke the verse. So you'll be able to go to the Bhagavatam, find the verse, study it yourselves. Memorize them if you like. From now on, the important verses are in the appendix of each chapter's study guide. That's how we're going to be doing it from now on. And I hope this works, because this is only step 2. I have further steps in mind. We have to go, you know. If I just tried from day 1 to do everything that I want to do, you'd all go running, screaming out of here. There's some madman has moved into the Gurukul. So I can only reveal this in gradual stages. Get you accustomed liking it, and then we can go to the next thing. All right, so thank you. Yes, yes, sure.
So at the end of every chapter, you'll give us the new study guide that will assist you if we've read this new chapter from Bhagavatam and read the study guide before coming to the first class on that chapter, then we can give you an idea of where we're going to speak.
Yes.
And if we're going to choose to speak at the end of the chapter, we don't necessarily have to have prepared that presentation by that date. But at least if we say we want to speak on this, and you can chronologically...
Yes. We'll have to put them into order.
Yeah.
And but the thing is we'll advise you, you know, you'll see from the study guide we want to go as according to the study guide. So if you pick an earlier topic, that means, you know, you'll have to really work at getting yourself prepared. If you pick a later topic, you have more time. And since we have all the study guides already, they're all done for the, if we even get through them in the next 3 weeks. So we'll be able to give you earlier. It's a question of printing. It's a question, you know, these are practical things. We're here in Mayapur, you know, printing out these study, that's like for Kashishwar, practically a half day's work. He has to, you know, print them and then go Xerox them and staple them together. So I told him yesterday, there's no way you can do. I would have liked to have given you everything, all three, but I said that it would just be too much for him. So in the days to come, he will, at his own pace, be doing that, and gradually you'll be getting them. But what you're getting today, yes. This cover page for forthcoming study guides, the study guide for First Canto, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's entrance to Dwarka, and this look back at the important verses of the first half of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the best we can do for you. Next time around, we'll do it better. So is there anything else? Yes. Okay. Looks like we've covered everything. And again, about questions, as you've seen, rarely, because there's only 1 hour's time, there's rarely time for questions. But we will be reasonable if for some reason in a class we do end, say, with 5 or 10 minutes extra. We will take questions. You see. Freely, we'll just that will just be considered Krishna's mercy. He's given us time for questions, and they'll not count against the, you know, against your presentations. That's just Krishna's mercy. But you've already seen how rarely that happens, because it's very difficult to squeeze what we're trying to squeeze into just 1 hour's time. All right, so please take this material, and those you know who are attendees of this course who are not able to be here today, please inform them, show them the material, and tomorrow we'll be expecting some volunteers to not necessarily speak tomorrow, if you feel. Tomorrow we'll try to conduct the class as we normally do. But if you already feel that inspired to speak tomorrow, you can do. But definitely on Thursday, that's when the hammer starts to come down. You're asking for more time, you're asking for more questions. So this is what we want you to do. You participate more. Okay? Does anyone find this unreasonable? Thank you. Oh, yes. Yes. The dramas will continue. The next drama will be about Vidura's preaching to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra's going to the forest, giving up his body. That's especially how we want to engage the boys. But if you adults, as I say, these study guides are here to stimulate you. So if you become stimulated and you'd like to put on your own drama, do it. Wonderful. But we want more and more coming from you now. You know, we want you to be thinking more and more about how to make this class, this course, interesting. This is Sangha. This is Vaishnava Sangha. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
He was more prepared on the 10th chapter that after the vision day is played. Did you know that it seemed like it was a nice spot for the style of the same?
Yeah.
Some of the pictures that were prepared, though, now speak some verses.
It was. And now we'll be giving more.